Well, good evening. It is a delight to be here with all the ministers, but also the Faith Alive and City Center Church, and just all you that are watching by live stream. I really believe there's something on my heart that's going to encourage and strengthen the brethren. And for some reason, I just feel to share this part, and I'm not sure why, but it's for somebody. I'm sure Kathy and I, between us, we have 6 married children, okay? And we have 16 grandchildren. Come on, okay. We're very, very, very thankful for that aspect in our lives. And I went through a very, very challenging time many years ago. It's coming close now to 40 years ago. And just was devastated during that there time. And out of the suffering that we went through, I saw a glory that came on my life. And it was just like I couldn't understand it. And you can't understand when you're going through something. But afterwards, there's a purpose that God has. And I felt to share this part today. You know, when my mother was expecting me many years ago, almost 70 years ago now, when mom got pregnant with me, she was very, very depressed. She went into a manic depression, from what I understand from an aunt. And she didn't want to have the child at all. And she had my sister first, and then she had myself afterwards. And what transpired during that there time, and I had no idea what was going on, of course. I mean, I'm just conceived. And so in the womb, during that time of gestation that was going on with mom, there was never really a connection. There was something happened that there was never a connection. Mom was, again, very depressed. And then they had me. And after I was born, there was a lot of problems in the family. But there was a lot of problems all the way through growing up. And I struggled majorly, and I say this majorly, with rejection. And rejection is something that we deal with oftentimes as pastors, as leaders. And when you get into the ministry, then even the pressures that you're under and things, and the more that you start breaking out and start excelling in that area, if you don't keep that thing in check, that thing can get a hold on you. Are you with me right now? And so I really just want to encourage the pastors that are here tonight. If you've been really struggling with that whole thing, this is what broke the lie of the enemy over Rick Schimatero's life. I had been pastoring about, I don't know, just a few years. And when I got in to the ministry, it was divine. It was supernatural how God set it up, brought me into Canada. I have my dual citizenship, and how that whole thing worked out. But what happened was, one day I was reading through the Bible in Ephesians 1 when it says, he hath, and it was past tense. And coming from Rhema Bible Training Center, we're taught very strongly the in him realities. And really, that's what saved my life. How many thank God for the in him realities? But there's one, and it says, he hath accepted us in the beloved. He hath, it's already done. Accepted us. And I ran it in a concordance for all you Bible school students that are here. And that word was translated, that same word accepted in Ephesians 1 is translated in another place in Luke's gospel, where Mary, the mother of Jesus in his humanity, actually the angel Gabriel came and he used the exact same word, but he translated it this way. It said, Mary, thou art highly favored amongst women. Are you with me? And so he said that to Mary. Now understand, as a little boy growing up, I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went 12 years to parochial schools, okay? I went to the box, which you would know as confession. I went almost every day because I always got into trouble in something or another. And to make a long story short, that day when I read that verse, that I am as highly favored as Mary was, it blew me away, and I can honestly tell you from that day to this day, I don't struggle with that same thing that I struggled with all those years. And that was a rhema word for Rick Schimatero, and I'm thankful for it. Does rejection try to grow up? Does it try to come on? Yeah, I'm sure it does, but there's something greater now, his highly favored of God. Can you say amen? And that wasn't just written to Rick Schimatero. That's written to every one of us that is here right now. And for whatever reason, if you've been struggling with that whole thing of rejection, I just want you to know God's word broke it in my life, and I believe that same word can break it over in your life. So, Father, any of my brothers or sisters even watching by live stream, and if you're here right now, and that's you, I'm going to just have you do something. Just stand up if you can, or stand up by your television, because I'm just going to break that thing, and we're just going to decree what God's word says over your life if you've been struggling with that rejection. So feel free. We're not here to embarrass anybody. That's not what it's about, but I just want to join my faith. Thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. Is there anybody else that needs to? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else that needs to? All you that are by live stream, let's join our faith. Father, we thank you that our brothers, our sisters that are standing and all those that are connected, everybody stand up with them right now. I thank you, Father God, that that rejection that has plagued their mind, that rejection, you are not inferior. You are not inadequate. You are more than enough through the grace of God upon your lives. We command that work of darkness scattered and shattered off of your life in Jesus' name. You are highly favored of God. Everybody stand up and say, highly favored of God. Highly favored of God. Amen. I feel I'm released now to get into it. Amen. There's a man in the Bible that I love, and his name is Peter. And Peter had some real issues. If the multimedia team has the New Living Translation, and they could put up their 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to go there in about 5 minutes or so. But this man, Peter, in the scriptures, it's very interesting about his life. We know that he was in the inner circle with the Son of God. We know that he was there with John. We know that he was there with James. So we know this here, that he was very close to the Son of God. And Peter came and he made some very bold, confident statements one day. You know, though they all deny you, I'm not going to deny you, you know. And then we know what happened with Peter with the denial of Christ 3 times. I learned this here about Peter. The Bible said that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. And I want to just state something to the pastors and to the leaders and fivefold gifts that are here tonight and to the people of God. This season that we have been in has been a season like no other. I'll say it again. This season we've been in has been like a season like no other. And in this here season, I have seen, and I hate to say this, but I have seen many pastors. They're telling us now, Barner's Research over there, I haven't gotten Rainer's for Canada yet, but Barner's Research is telling us over, almost a third of all pastors have quit the ministry and are going into other fields now in America. Now, I don't know about you, but that's an incredibly high percentage of individuals. And in this time, there's been a sifting that has actually been going on. And the Bible said to Peter, it said, Satan hath desired, Simon, to sift you as wheat. If you look at that word, it actually speaks of probe, and it speaks about like a flashlight going down to probe to really see what's going on the inside of you. And so I believed in this sifting period of time that we've all been in right now, there's some strengths that we all have, but there's also some weaknesses that we have. Are you all there? And so in this here time, there's been some surgery that has gone on. There's been some cutting away of some things. There's been some growing, but there's also been a time as in Goshen. And when you look in Goshen after, and I'm not going to preach on that. I wish I could tonight, but I'm not released to. But Goshen literally means about drawing near to God. And I believe that in one moment's time, God's not the one that authored the COVID. God's not the one that brought the COVID in any way, because it steals, kills, and destroys. But how many know God could take whatever the enemy brings and use it for good? And I really believe that in this season, it's been a time really drawing near to God. Now, I feel to disclose this tonight, and I'm going to bring this forth. Kathy is a witness to this here. I am not one that gets a lot of visions. I'm not one that gets a lot of dreams. At times I can be prophetic, but I don't get a lot of visions. I don't get a lot of dreams. I can count them on one hand and show you and tell you what they were. But over a year ago, probably close to a year and a half now, just as COVID was starting to come in, I have a vibrator bed. And my vibrator bed is a split mattress that Kathy and I bought from Costco. And on her side, she's the one that uses the vibrator, and it's the bed that goes up and it goes down, it goes flat, it goes if you want to sit up this way. And, you know, Kathy, a lot of times at a hotel, will put two or three pillows up just so she can sleep comfortably at night. Well, at home, we got this here Costco bed, and it goes up. And my bed is the same. The mattress stays the same 365 days a year every day. I use the vibrator for my neck and my back when I first bought the thing and just say, hey, this is really cool. And that was the last time that I ever used it. And so Kathy has a controller and I have a controller, okay? So her controller only controls her mattress and then my controller only controls mine. I never use it, so it's stuck in the drawer in my nightstand next to the side. Well, Kathy's a witness to this here. One night about a year and a half ago or so, maybe a little longer, I remember this here, early in the morning, the mattress started going crazy, every area of it, from the feet vibration, the thigh vibration, the back, the neck, and everything else, all started going off at the same time. And without a lie, Kathy is here, without a lie, she wakes up and I wake up and I'm like in a deep sleep, and this thing is like shaking, like I said, what the? What's going on in here? Who turned this on? How did this go on? And so then Kathy's saying, will you shut that thing off? And I said, I don't even know how to shut the thing off. I don't even know where the controller is. So when you're sound asleep and you're trying to find it, and it just so happens to be the one drawer that I never want anybody to see, because that's the drawer that's got all my receipts in it. And I throw all those receipts in there, and usually after Christmas and the new year, I usually pull them out and put all the gas receipts and everything together for income tax. So all the receipts are in the same drawer where this here vibrator thing, this thing for the bed is at. And I'm not finding the thing, and it keeps shaking and shaking. And so finally, I get the thing, and I shut it off. After I shut it off, I didn't get back to sleep. Kathy was able to for a little while, and the Holy Ghost began to share with me. The Holy Ghost began to say, Rick, this is everything that's not of me in your life. It's going to be shaken. And he says, but the things, and he took me to Hebrews, and I know everybody here is familiar with that. But he said, the things that remain cannot be shaken. I'm here to prophesy to you tonight. The word of God cannot be shaken. The blood of the cross cannot be shaken. The Goshen of heaven and the protection in this time cannot be shaken. The living word of God cannot be shaken. The institution that God birthed 2,000 years ago, the church, cannot be shaken. God said he'll build his church and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against that church. Now, if you'll listen tonight, I believe prophetically, we are moving into the last days. There's many people today, you know, they're looking for 40 years, 50 years, and this. I'm not here to ever say or ever put a time in. I serve on a committee called Empowerment 21, and we're evangelizing and working with evangelists around the nation, scholars and next generation, and our goal is to have the Spirit-filled message preached to every person on the planet by 2034. One of the leaders, many of you know Craig Rochelle and his group and Greenwell, the guy that's working with him, just a year and a half ago, or 2 years ago by now, he actually had about 35,000 followers. Today, you fast forward on the app, they have over 500 million. You hear from 35,000 to 500 million in a short period of time. They actually had to hire over 100 people just to keep up the web pages and to keep up that whole online thing. Now, see, that's one ministry, and you culminate that and put them together, take thousands and thousands of ministries around the world. I want to just tell you, I don't believe the church is going out in defeat. I don't believe the church is going out failure. I don't believe the church is going out sin-ridden. I believe the church is going to be what God said, a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. Now, where are we really at? I want to just tell you, if you're like me and you've been reading the media and you've been seeing that Trinity Western's court case, you can see our friend Dr. Charles McVitie at Canadian Christian College. He gets the whole thing built. He builds a $44 million structure. He builds the whole thing. He already gets from our premier the accreditation to build the school, and it's an art school, science, and all the other stuff in there. And then when Catherine Wynne, the former premier, she actually put another thing in for the CRTC that governs all the TV and radio. In case you're not aware of this here, they're trying to break down, listen, the gospel from going out across the nation. It's amazing, and in case you have to wonder, okay, I am in no way justifying what transpired in the residential schools. Okay, I believe it's a great atrocity. And to our First Nations people, you know, I truly apologize in the name of the church of what has gone on, okay? But the point that I want to bring out is, are you aware that they're not just burning Catholic churches today, but they're burning many other churches today? And over 68 of them in our nation have been torched. And yet the media won't cover it. Yet there's not one person that's speaking out against that in any of the parties for these here churches. And these are some Egyptian churches, Copt churches, and many other types. You can check all this out online. There may be more than that. That was at least 2 weeks ago before I went to Dubai was the last statistic that I had. So we are in a time frame of history that is paralleled exactly like Isaiah chapter 59. Are you all with me? I'll say it again. And so we're going to go to the prophet. First of all, before we go to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to move very rapidly in a little while, but I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. Now remember, this is the Peter that had said, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that when you are turned around, that your faith would not fail. What was the thing Jesus prayed for? That his faith would not fail. How many know the Son of God prays for you and I in this day and hour that our faith would not fail? Is that all right? But then he said something. He said, when you're gonna turn around, he prophetically saw Peter in the future. And he said, when you're turned around, he didn't pray that he'd be delivered from the tempter. He didn't pray that the circumstances would change. He spoke to his future and said, when you're turned around, you're going to strengthen and you're going to encourage the brethren. As we read this epistle, if you can put it up, if you have it in the New Living Translation, that would be awesome. But if not, I'll just read it from that. And as we go through this, I want you just to hear the words of what Peter is saying, because the Bible said these are words that will strengthen you. These are words that will encourage you. And when I tie them into Isaiah chapter 52 all the way through, you're going to see exactly where we're at in this time of history. Amen? Let's stand. Let's stand for the word. All right. My voice, I've been preaching. Anthony Greco had us do 10 services in 2 days. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hear the word of the Lord as you're there. This is my second letter to you, dear friends. And he says, and in both of them, first epistle and second. By the way, in 1 Peter, the first 5 chapters, and that's what we have, you're going to see something, 16 different references to glory. You're going to also see 16 different references to suffer, suffering, sufferist. Did you know that suffering is the pathway to the release of the glory of God? Now, to the pastors that are here today, this has been a tough season for you. It's been a tough season for us. We went through loss in this here season, but we also went through great, great gain in this here season. But I want to tell you, the suffering that we're experiencing is nothing next to the glory that's being revealed. And we are into another, I've told Kathy this here, I don't know if you just saw her, the minute she clicked in, the anointing just clicked all over her. I seen her this week and we went to the church over in Calgary and I just saw what God had imparted and I saw what God had done all weekend. And I've been telling, I said, Kathy, we're in another dimension of the grace of God now. Something is happening, Kathy, in the spiritual. There's an authority that's carrying on like I've never experienced to the degree that we are now. So the writer said, this is my second letter to you, dear friends. And in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and to refresh your memory. I want you, everybody say, I want you. Okay, read along with me, if you will. I want you to remember, come on, what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Now, hang on, just before I even go further, and I know I got you standing, so I won't do it long. There's teachers today in the body of Christ that are saying you do not need to go to the Old Testament at all. Okay, you don't need to read it. I just want to answer that, not what I have to say about the teachers, because I'm not here to bash anyone. But I will state this here. My Bible teaches me to speak in the New Testament in Psalms. Well, how can you speak in Psalms according to Ephesians 5 and Colossians 4 if you're not even going to read the Psalms and know them? My Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 10 that there was five sins that kept the children of God, the children of Israel, out of the promised land. And those five sins were examples for you and I that we don't make the same mistakes they did. Well, if you don't even know the mistakes they made, then probably you're going to make the same mistakes they made. And one of them is in the church world, murmuring is allowed to go on. And he said, neither murmur ye as they murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. I could go on all five of them, but listen carefully. When you hear something said today and it doesn't line up with the rest of the word of God, then just put it out there. Don't even put it on the shelf. Throw it in the garbage. Good preaching. Thanks, Pastor Rick. Okay. Now listen, I'm telling you these things for reasons over here. Because what Isaiah said, what Ezekiel said, what Jeremiah said, these are all works that are being fulfilled. What the prophets spoke thousands of years ago are all happening before our very eyes today. And because of it, we're like the Jews of old, where they didn't have, when the Messiah came, they didn't even recognize him when he came. They had the scholars, they had the scribes, they had the individuals who were there, but when he came, they still didn't recognize him. Because he came as in a baby in a manger. The reason he did that, he came into the stable of our stinking, smelling hearts. Can you say amen? He didn't have to come that way, but that's how he chose to come and identify. So let's get to the word, because I got to get started here tonight. Are you there? Okay. So I want you to remember, read along with me, come on, what the holy prophet said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, what's going to happen? Scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. And then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up. What's it say? Come on. Have been stored up for what? Against what? What's it say now? Come on. They are being kept for the day of judgment, when who's going to be judged? Ungodly people will be destroyed. But you, everybody look at your neighbor and say you. You must not forget this one thing. Dear friends, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. Why does he say, I don't want you to forget this here? Because in the time frame of history, and I believe we're coming into that there, we're going to understand the seasons of God, but we're also going to understand the timings of God. If you don't understand the timings and the seasons of God, then you're going to miss the opportunities of God's grace and spirit that I'm going to talk about tonight. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But everybody, come on, say it with me. The day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then, there's 3,978 thens, means immediately afterwards. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. And since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Now I'm not here to teach eschatology in the church. I'm not here today to teach end times, but according to what I'm speaking here today, the day of the Lord is coming. And he tells you and I that we're to live holy and we're to live godly lives. Okay? So whatever way you want. want to interpret that, go for it. Looking forward, what are we looking forward to? The day of God and hurrying it along. Did you know that tonight we have an opportunity to be a part of hurrying the day of the Lord around? And he goes on and he says, on that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to, what are we looking forward to? Come on. And what else? A world? Okay, so just hang on. How many know we're reading through the prophet? And how many know the new heavens and the new earth is a future event? The new heavens and the new earth hasn't come back. We know a little bit about it from Revelation. We know a little bit about it from what Peter's saying over here. But the reality is I'm looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, where there's no more sin, there's no more pain, there's no more sickness, there's no more rebellion, there's no more lawlessness, there's no more injustice, there's no more accusing of the brethren, there's no more sin. Come on. And that's what we're looking for. Now, in light of that, and then I'm going to let you be seated, there's one other verse here that is so important for you and I. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, come on. If you're waiting for these things to happen, and he tells you how you're supposed to live in there, maybe we just might be around for some of these things to happen. I'll leave that for another day, okay? Waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. Go ahead and be seated. I wonder if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today really believes what the Bible says. I wonder today, and look in the year 2021, in the month that we're in October, if the church really is making every effort to live peaceful lives today. I wonder if the church is really looking to live holy and blameless lives. I wonder if the church is really looking to walking in the fear of the Lord, because you know, you guys are dealing with it here. We're having it in Ontario. We have all these churches all across the country. I'm hearing it from my friends overseas. I'm hearing it from my friends over here that there's no more peace in believers' lives today. And the writer tells us, in light of all the things coming, make every effort, because it's just not going to drop out of heaven. The peace is already in us. But how many know we need to give license to it? We need to permit the peace of God to rule and to reign in our hearts. Okay, so anyway, that's another whole message there. Now I want to start tonight with this here aspect of this. Isaiah chapter 59 is where I want to zero in for about 2-3 minutes in a few moments. But until we get there, I want to just say Isaiah 50 to Isaiah 53 is all prophetic, much even quoted from Psalms. It's all prophetic. The first 40-some chapters is all has to do with Israel in Babylon. But then we come up now when we start speaking of the messianic sufferings of Jesus, where they literally pulled his beard off of his face. And we know that Jesus shed his blood 7 different times externally, and one of them was the pulling off of his beard. And when they ripped the beard off his face, it says he was so disfigured that he didn't even look like a man. But when they did that, they actually got the identity for you and I back. You and I can now be made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, church. So God got that back for us 2,000 years ago. And there's 7 other external areas of shedding of the blood. I don't have time to develop that, but there's actually an 8th, and it speaks about he was bruised for our iniquities in chapter 53. And bruising is not external shedding of blood, but it's the internal blood. It doesn't break out from inside, but it's still blood. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 7 is divine completion. But 8 is the number of the new beginning that God has for every one of us. Everything in scripture was done. So I'm going to get much into numerics tonight. And so now you go into chapter 54. And this is where I just want to give this very quickly. In 54, we see a perpetual covenant of peace that God was made with. Notice the Messiah sacrificed. And now there's a perpetual, everlasting covenant of peace. Therefore now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's an everlasting covenant. Isaiah mentioned that there. And then he goes into chapter 55 and he says an invitation now to the abundant life. This is all part and parcel of what the cross did for you, the cross did for me. It's an invitation now after the covenant of peace to the abundant of life. I believe and can prophesy the reason many believers never have the abundant life is because they haven't learned to keep their spirit and keep their soul in an area of peace in their homes, peace in their marriages. Where there's no peace, there's no power. Where there's no peace, there's no breakthrough. Where there's no peace, there's a hindrance of the glory being released. Where there's no peace, the lack of provision comes. The Bible says when a strong man comes in and enters in a house and his goods are in peace, I want to tell you, if your goods are in peace, the enemy can't do it. But when a stronger than he comes, the stronger is the envy. The stronger is the strife. Come on now. That comes in and it steals your peace. And then what happens? He binds you up into every area of your life. Let's go on to 56, the next one very quickly over here. Salvation for the Gentiles. God says over there, his house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. He came to the Jew first, but then to the Gentile. Started with my descendants, those of Cornelius's household. 57, the healing of the backslider who repents and restoration. And then it's interesting. In 58, he speaks about an acceptable fast to the Lord. Prior to when the Son of God came, we didn't see the breaking of chains. We didn't see the oppressed go free. Why? Because when the Son of God came, they were all here. But after the Son of God came, how many know that's part of the ministry that Jesus gave to you and I today? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power who went about doing good and healing. Come on, all that were sick and oppressed of the devil. So we have the revelation of that. So there's never been, and I'll state this now, in my 40 years of being in Canada, I have never seen and been a part of more prayer meetings, more intercession, more travail, more crying out to God. And I'm not just talking of prayer meetings in churches. I'm talking with national denominational leaders where Sally Ann folks are on their faces crying out to God for fresh fire on the Salvation Army churches. When the Nazarenes are crying out, the Alliance, I don't know if you're even aware of what transpired in the Alliance churches in our nation today, but some 600 pastors and leaders are now born again and spirit-filled in the Alliance church, praying in tongues, believing in the healings and getting back to the root. God is doing something supernatural in denomination after denomination. Listen, 10 years ago, Dave and I speak about this often. The Charismatics and the Pentecostals didn't have the best of relationship. Fast forward 10 years later, we're on our faces before God together, doing things jointly together. It's an amazing day that we're living in. And so Isaiah 58 goes and describes the society that we're living. Come on, describes the prayer that's going up in the church. Now listen to the characteristics of 59. I summarize them as quick as I can. Isaiah 59, it's the society that he prophesied. It said they were filthy with their sins. They were full of lies. There was corruption everywhere. No one cared about being fair. No one cared about being honest. The people's lawsuits are based on lies. I look at what Dr. Charles McVitie himself has had to go through and the lawsuits and the money he's had to put in based upon lies. And they even have documents of how they twisted and distorted the information for the applications out there. We can go on and speak about many others. And it says out there, they've conceived evil deeds and they give birth to sin. Isaiah 59 says they hatch deadly snakes, they hatch spiders, and they hatch vipers. Nothing they do is productive. All their activity is filled with sin and violence is their trademark. Their feet run to do evil. They rush to commit murder, and they think only about sinning. Folks, you can read this chapter tonight when you get home. You'll see everything I'm saying. misery and destruction always follow them. They have mapped out crooked roads. Injustice is everywhere. I birthed a ministry almost 2 years ago, CCJM, Canadian Christians for Justice and Mercy. And it's for First Nations. It's for my Black brothers and sisters. And we birthed this thing and other marginalized groups within our culture over way before these things ever came out. We already had this system already there in place. Why am I saying all that? Because there's injustice everywhere. Listen what else. It says, our courts oppose the righteous and justice is nowhere to be found. Honesty has been outlawed and anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't watch a lot of the news because if I just watch the news, then there's going to be a heaviness that's going to come on my life. I like to always know what's going on in Israel and the Middle East because I feel that's God's timepiece. But I like to listen very carefully, know what God's word is saying, where the church is at today. I want to state Isaiah 58, the prayer, and Isaiah 59 is the backdrop of the culture and the society that you and I are living in. Now, this morning I heard somebody come up here. I don't know who it was. It might have been Jim, and he was talking about God's generals and how they didn't finish well. But if you look at, listen very carefully, the generals, and you look at all the moves of God, you look at all the ones from Azusa with William Seymour, when you go to the Wesleyan revival, and you look at the Welsh revival, and you go on, and you study revivals, you will always see that 100% of the time, there was always a backdrop in the society first. There was, listen, it was dead in the society. The churches weren't seeing and weren't experiencing everything that heaven had for them. We are living, at that time in society where society wants God out. But that's the time that the Spirit of God is zeroing in on you and I. But here, listen carefully. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Hang on. To show himself strong on behalf of those, King James, whose hearts is perfect before him. The word perfect is the Hebrew word shalom, and it speaks about those that are living peaceful lives. God's eyes today are on pastors, are on leaders that are above the strife, that are above the contention. They're not taking the bait of Satan. They're living peaceful lives. They're preaching the word of God. They're not preaching about what's happening around. They're preaching the word of God. They're preaching the gospel. They're preaching healing. They're preaching deliverance. They're preaching Isaiah 61. Are y'all with me right now? So here we are, the backdrop of the society. There's also a time where there's a hunger like I've never seen before for the word of God today. I'm going to tell you something. Read what Timothy spoke about. In light of the coming of the Lord, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. For the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap teacher after teachers telling us messages that will tickle our ears. I want to tell you, we're living on that day of the fulfillment of teacher after teacher telling people about the itching ear message, telling the people what they want to hear. I want to tell you something right now. We need to repent. I want to tell you something now. We need to lay the idols down. I want to tell you something. Isaiah said, cry out, show my people their sins. Blow it like a trumpet out there and sound the alarm. Can you say amen? We're living in a time frame where we're not here to play games about God. We have the balance and we have a mission upon our life to fulfill the great commandment so that we can ultimately fulfill the great commission. Amen? And it's happening in our day and hour and it's unfolding. But this is the good news that I came to tell you today. We are not staying in Isaiah 59. We're going in to Isaiah 60. In Isaiah 60, he said, arise, come on. There's a time to pray. There's a time to shout. There's a time to sing. But there's also a time to get in the battles of life, folks. the writer says, now listen to this very carefully. This just came a few months ago. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord, come on, is risen upon you. Now, I want to just state this, and please listen. This was not speaking to the Old Testament saints. Did you hear what I just said? The Spirit came on them. The glory came on them, came on the priest, came on the prophet, came on the king. We saw that in the scripture. The glory came down. Come on, the anointing came down. But here it didn't say the anointing came down. The anointing descended. It spoke about the glory not coming down, not descending. It said the glory is risen upon them. In other words, the glory is already deposited on the inside of every one of us that is in the room right now. We're not going to try to get the glory in. The problem is creating the atmosphere so the glory can be released. Nobody can deny that the Son of God operated in the glory of God. Nobody. But he said, the glory which I have, he possessed it in an earthen vessel 2,000 years ago. And then he said before he left, the glory which I have given to them. Why did he give it to them? That they may be one. Now listen carefully. I believe in 2 Corinthians 4, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Take the context before, take the context afterwards, and you'll see the treasure is literally the depository of heaven. Heaven has a place where they invest. Heaven has a place that they put deposits. And guess what? Your new creation heart is a depository of all the giftings of God, all the attributes of God, and the very glory of God. If we are going to pray for the glory to come, the power to come, we're missing the whole purpose. Brad said it tonight, and you can see it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we expect, think, or ask, according or in measure with the power that worketh in us. The power's not coming in. The power's in us, but it needs to be activated in us. Are we doing okay? So Jesus said, every time we get out of unity in the body, we stop. We hinder, we suffocate, we smother, and literally close the airways and are off of the pathways of heaven. And we don't even realize that. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, I will show you the path of life. In his presence is fullness of joy and life evermore. You can't ever, sir. You can't ever, musicians. You can't ever just say, in his presence is fullness of joy and life evermore. You need to tell the people, let's get on the pathway of life. Let's stay in peace with one another. Let's stay in holiness with God. Let's stay connected to God. Are y'all there? Okay, then 61, y'all know. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, who hath anointed me to preach good news, to preach deliverance to the captives, the King James says, come on, to preach the year of the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord. 62 goes in, and it speaks of harvest, harvest, and harvest. Isaiah 62. Isaiah 63 goes in and says harvest and judgments at the same time. Isaiah 64 speaks now of the new heavens coming down. Isaiah 65 and 66 speak about where the worm dieth not. It speaks about now the time of rewards, but it speaks about now the time of eternal judgments. The Bible says that it's a foundational stone, the doctrine of eternal states, the doctrine of eternal judgments. And if we don't even know the foundational state, how can we stand in these last days? Now I'm ready to preach. Are you all there? How can we create the atmosphere for this glory that's already in us? Please, please, please listen. Don't pray for peace. Peace is in you. Create the atmosphere for peace to be released. Don't pray for patience. Tribulation is going to bring it. But listen carefully. He said, let, permit, allow patience to have her perfect word. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that we are a kingdom now that we are a kingdom of priests unto God, and it says a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his light. To every Bible student, scholar in the place today, look up that word praises, and you'll see it has zero to do with worship. It has zero to do with singing. It has zero to do with anything with worship and praise. But the word praise there, it says to show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into his light. That word praises means the visible, glorious attributes of God. And the glorious attributes of God. Listen, we're not going to have anybody write new books about us. We're saying that we're God. That's not what I'm saying here. We know that he's the firstborn amongst many brethren. Can you say amen? But listen, the attributes of God are already deposited on the inside of you. They're already there. Well, what's the attributes of God? His goodness is already in you. His faith is already in you. Come on now. His mercy is in you. His compassion is in you. It's not trying to get it. It's already on the inside. Now, listen to what I'm going to say. If you're taking notes, in all my years of studying the scriptures, I found out that there's three things that God's looking for in every one of us that's in this room right now. Everybody stand up for a moment, because I'm going to wind down in the next 10 minutes. There's three things, and say it with me right now: compassion, consecration, and cooperation. Say it again. Look at your neighbor and say it to them. Go ahead and be seated right now. You look in the Bible and you'll see there were five times, not six, not four, five times in the Authorized Bible that Jesus was moved with compassion. Every time he was moved with compassion, it created the atmosphere for the presence of God to come in. It created the atmosphere for breakthrough. It created the atmosphere for miracles. I've heard for many, many years, expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. And a lot of people preach it. A lot of people talk about it. But I'm not seeing the miracles. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus was moved with compassion, we saw the miraculous. We saw the demonstration. We saw the glory of God breaking out in earth. It's interesting that it's mentioned five times. And five is the number of God's grace, but five is also the numeric number, 318 times reference to the love of God, and it's also a reference to the forgiveness of God. Not only is there grace, the empowerment to do everything that heaven's called us to do, but there's also a release of the love of God, and there's a release of the forgiveness of God. People that are operating in compassion, they don't have time to get bitter. They don't have time to park in unforgiveness. They don't have time to be offended. They don't have time to be harsh. Why? Because five has also got an aroma of kindness around itself, an aroma of gentleness around it in the number. It's interesting. When you look at the temple, and you'll see that there was actually five poles that were in the temple. The five poles, and for the Bible school students, they represented literally heaven coming down to earth. And then we also saw that there were five sockets, and those sockets, listen, needed to be filled. And we all know about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but they also had five altars that were all placed in there. This number five, we can go on, is so very significant. And one of the areas Jesus said they were laboring, he saw the multitudes, and the multitudes were scattered. The multitudes were out there with no shepherd. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion for them. He was moved with compassion towards the weary. He was moved with compassion towards the one in despair. He was moved with compassion towards the broken. And then we saw in Matthew chapter 18, when they had the guy that was forgiven $1 million debt. And then what happened? He had a $20 bet that he didn't, that somebody else owed him. And he wanted the guy to pay the $20 bet, even though he was with $1 million debt. And the Bible says when Jesus forgave him, he was moved with compassion. Three other times you'll see that when Jesus saw the multitudes before the multiplication of the loaves and fishes, he was moved with compassion. Those are the five references that we see in the Word of God. The church is at a place now from Isaiah 58 of being in the face of God. The church is at a place now being in their Goshen, drawing near to God, laying down our idols, laying down the distraction, laying down the sports, laying down all the things that were taking the time that was due to God. 1 John chapter 5, 21 to the New Covenant Church says, little children, keep yourself from idols. The Amplified Bible says, from anything and everything that occupies a place due to God in our hearts. Everybody stand for a moment. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, lift your hands right now to baptize everyone in this room with a fresh infilling of the compassion of God. I'm asking that those that have operated in it, that there would be a fresh stirring of the waters and the rivers of living water to go into the compassion of God, to obliterate the condemnation, to obliterate the judgmentalism, to obliterate the accusation, to obliterate the disappointments, to obliterate all that would smother and cover the burning heart for God today. Lord, make us those vessels of compassion. You said in Exodus 34 that you are a compassionate God, and as you are, so are we in this present world. Lord, may we drink compassion. May we eat compassion. May we breathe compassion. May we speak compassion. May it be in our homes. May it be in our marriages. May it be in our families, and may it be in our churches in Jesus' name. Anyway, tell your neighbor, be compassionate. Go ahead and be seated. Number two, it's not only time to be compassionate. Jesus was consecrated. Joshua 3 tells us in verse 5, before they went into the promised land to take everything, before they went in and were industrious, before they took all the lands and everything back, he said, sanctify yourselves, consecrate yourself. The New Testament tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, it said, sanctify them wholly, their whole spirit. Come on, church. Their whole soul and their whole body. God doesn't want 90% of us anymore, church. God wants 100% of our hearts. And people that are flowing with compassion are at the altar of grace on a daily basis. They're understanding the mandate. They're understanding the timing. They're understanding the seasons of heaven. See, what we need to understand in that throne of consecration, we're seeing a shift that's coming into the church world. We've preached about Christ all these years as the Lamb of God. And thank God he is the Lamb, and we need to preach that he takes away the sins of the world. But church, he's not coming back as the Lamb of God. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're coming into a time today, not an ignorant time, not a stupid time, but we're coming into a time that the boldness that the early church operated in is going to be the same boldness that we're going to operate in it, because we're sanctifying ourselves wholly, our whole spirit, our whole soul, and our whole body. In a moment, we're going to pray on that whole area there. There's so many things I want to speak on that whole thing, but I think I gave you enough. So without the consecration, we're not going to see the release now of the glory of God. But the third thing that I recognized, when God's glory in the old came in, it's when they were all in unity. They were all in one accord. The Bible says it this way, Psalm 133, and I know you all are familiar with it. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. The New International says in harmony as one. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious anointing oil that rained down the beard of Aaron. Come on, church. So whenever the oneness is there, what are you going to see? The anointing. Let me tell you, this is not a time for jockeying around, playing power trips about names. It's not a time about titles and all this, and people arguing even about their titles and demanding this here, demanding that there. It's not a time like that, folks. It's the time to just be the servants of the Most High God. It's the time to start cooperating with one another. It's the time to start making others. What you make happen for someone else, God's going to make happen for you. That's not just a teaching in the charismatic church. That's all the way through the Word of God. It's the time to sacrifice. It's the time to lay down our interests, and it's the time to pick up the kingdom interest for the kingdom of God. So we see not only the anointing oil that came down the beard of Aaron, but we also saw it's like the dew that came down Mount Hermon. And I've been to the Middle East some 20 times, and in my journeys over there, we always go by Hermon, and Hermon's the highest mountain by the Lebanese border, the Syrian border, and you can see snow caps all on the top there. And when the summer starts coming, it starts melting the snow caps, and the water comes down those mountains so strong and so fast that oftentimes bridges are actually completely washed out. Come on, church. And so what happens out there, God says that's what the gusher is going to be when the brethren start cooperating together. That's the gusher that the Holy Ghost wants to break out in Canada, in Saskatoon, in the nations of the world. And Pastor Brent and to Pastor Jim, I'm very impressed to see the two cooperating here, the church spirit working together in here. And I believe this is a template for what God wants to do. But I was ready to prophesy in my front seat today when I heard about the called the Prairie Fire. I'm going to be honest, I never heard anything about the Prairie Fire other than when I came out here on these here meetings. But I'm going to tell you what I did here while I was sitting in my seat. The fires that you saw are nothing next to the fires that God's going to release. And you take that word, you intercessors, and you start warring with that word, and you're going to watch and see what God's going to do in these times in your life. Amen? So it's the cooperating spirit. If you look at in the book of Romans chapter 16, I'm going to close with this here. In Romans 16, you'll see a Greek mythology course. What do you mean by that, Pastor Rick? You'll see all these names of the Grecians that are all there in Romans 16. Read the first five verses. You'll see one after the next, names that I can't even pronounce. And then what happens? The apostle Paul goes and stops it in Romans 16. And he stopped and he said, stop. Mark those which cause divisions amongst you. I believe that we're in a time right now where that divisive spirit is being obliterated, it's being exposed, but it's also being scattered and shattered by the blood of the cross. That divisiveness and the people that are divisive, God is removing them in an incredible, quick way so that a new kingdom of humility and the grace of God can come forth. We're seeing religious leaders that were up here, they're being removed, and it seems like it's happening overnight. In the last decade, I have never seen more shifting that has taken place than I'm seeing right now in the churches across Canada. Never seen anything like it. I remember going in with all these national leaders 3 years ago, and Kathy, I told her, I just burdened my heart, and I just said, Kath, I can't believe what I'm experiencing from a few of them. We're making real breakthroughs, but there's some. And you know, the next year I come back, and that guy was totally removed. God's the one that sets them up, but he's also the one that puts them down. And if that cooperating spirit is not there, listen, if your board members are not with you, if your elders are not with you, if your apostles are not with you, then you need to make some adjustments and get those things so the horizontal can be right, so the glory can be released. As I close today, God is dealing. Every message we've heard today is all about cooperation. So Heavenly Father, I'm asking for these churches represented here, for every member, for every leader, for the Bible school here, the Bible school with Pastors Randy and Jill. I'm asking, Father, that there would be fresh fires that would break out in these schools. I'm asking that there would be fresh fire on the altar of every prophet, on the altar of every apostle, every evangelist, every pastor, and every teacher that is represented here. I'm asking, Father, for a breakthrough in the compassion of the Holy Ghost upon everyone that is here today. I'm asking that consecration, if you've been holding on to anything and holding back on anything, please stand up right now. Everybody here, let it go. Lift up your hands to God and just consecrate your life afresh to God. Say, I give you my marriage. marriage. I give you my home. I give you my spouse. I give you my children. I give you my church. I give you my ministry. Just yield it to God right now. Everybody, just out loud, just yield it to God now. Consecrate that work to God. Separate that work to God. Get your hands off and let God now begin to move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The warriors, the warrioresses, they're rising up. I thank you, Lord, for the mandate that you have upon our nation. And the Father, everything going on in Parliament, everything going on in the airwaves, is not going to have its course, but the kingdom of God is going to fulfill its course. I thank you, Father, that the kingdom is coming now. It's coming now to Saskatchewan. I command the kingdom of God to come to this province. I command those critical religious spirits to be scattered and shattered by the blood of the cross. I command the accusation spirit to be scattered and shattered. It's rooted in perverseness. It's rooted in violence. And I command it broken off this province. I command it broken off of every church. I command it broken, scattered, and shattered off the leadership team. I command those leaders to be one heart, to be of one mind. I command them to flow together in the grace of God and the humility from that grace today. I command that backbiting. I command that strife. I command that contention to be released of its assignment. You go from these churches. You go from their communities. You go from their marriages. Just seeing right now, there's many marriages of pastors that are being attacked. We command the lies of darkness broken off of your life, broken off of your home, and fresh coals on the altar of your hearts. I thank you for that, Father. And Lord, the last thing is, Lord, we choose to cooperate with the kingdom of heaven in this day and hour. We choose to be kingdom-minded. We choose, Lord, you said the kingdom is not an external. It's not a meat and drink kingdom. It's not a natural, but it's righteousness, our identity. And peace is the atmosphere for this kingdom to manifest, and the joy is going to be the byproduct of it. Father, I'm asking now that there would be such a cooperation with the fivefold ministry gifts in every church, that those that don't even have them, Lord, that you would begin to bring them in and raise them up. Not as a competition, not as a comparison, but to bring that completion. Because what I didn't say this morning is the word one another, not only does it mean reciprocal, not only does it mean completion, but it also means reduplication. And so, God, I thank you that real reduplication is taking place in the churches in Saskatchewan. I thank you, Father God, that we're going to see cooperation come into another level of the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we're going to see the prayer that Jesus prayed, the Father, that they would be one as you and I are one, that the world may believe. I say, Father, be it done according unto your word. And everybody said amen. Last thing I want to do, and I know my time's up. Last thing I want to do is pray for those that have been struggling with torment. I want everybody here to bow your head. I want all those that are watching by live stream just to connect right now. I sensed as I was praying for this meeting that there's people tormented in their minds. They're tormented about fear. They're tormented about dying prematurely. They're tormented about suicide. I got all these here things. And if that's you, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want everybody to raise your hands together. Okay? So nobody is zeroed out. I command that spirit of torment right now to be released of your assignment. We release forgiveness from the core of our hearts to all those that have betrayed us, all those that have backstabbed us, we release forgiveness, not from our heads any longer, but shift it now from our hearts. And we release the forgiveness of the cross towards every one of those enemies, towards the betrayers, towards those that have abused us, taken advantage of us, misused us. In Jesus' name, we release those assignments of torment tonight. And I command that when my brothers and my sisters lie down to sleep tonight, that their sleep is going to be sweet. I command the blood of Jesus over them now and over their dreams, over their thoughts, over their marriages, over their children, and they're going to have the best night's sleep ever in Jesus' name. And I speak the peace of God that's in them now to break out into every area of their lives, that you can be glorified, Father, in Jesus' name. As I leave the stage, may you and I make every effort to be found in peace, living peaceful lives when the Son of God comes. God bless you.